Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the World Wide Web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What wretched thing have you discovered lately? Would you please share your discovery by sending all things wretched, sermon, stories, articles, anything you deem to be wretched, idea@wretched.org. If and you want a question, comment, conundrum, snark, you can do it there or text away 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Jimmy.
Well, no, that's how this question started.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Todd. Why aren't some of those videos you post on YouTube found on Fortis Plus?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand these things. We've talked about it, I guess, but I don't know. The social media thing, I'm telling you, I don't know if the DSM-5 has it articulated yet, but I have a thing. So, like electronic stuff, I'm telling you, it's like technology dyslexia. I just, my brain gets totally addled. So the answer to your question, I don't know. Are you happy?
There you go.
It's like you just put a little stick through my cage and gave me a poke. I don't understand these things. You know what I've learned though about social media and marketing? I'll tell you, so it's probably choose a better word. So I don't even have to explain what I don't mean. It's so diverse. It requires so many different skill sets. These days, it's my observation. You can't just say, I'm in marketing. Well, what aspect of it? And because there's like 6,500 different aspects with different skill sets that are demanded because of the internet, social media, computer skills, marketing skills, creativity. And then there's other delivery mechanisms like print or a TV rate. It's like, it is so broad a field these days, and it takes so many people to do marketing. It ain't like it used to be. Ditto, social media. Maybe we'll add those videos someday. Hey, did you know, however, that Fortis Plus, which is free, is also available on the thing with the deal? See, there it is again.
Dealy Bob.
You know what I'm talking about, yeah. The TV.
That's it.
Didn't they used to call it the idiot box?
The boob tube.
Because it just made you a knucklehead.
Yeah.
Because it just, how much more so social media? Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
You get the app right there.
Yep.
And it's all free. 877-282-2337.
So this next question is only being asked because it's a test for you. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I want to be informed on what's happening around the world and how to pray for the church. Do you have any recommendations on how to stay informed about global Christian news? Could you recommend some reliable news sources?
Well, you got a smirk on your voice.
I'm just waiting.
Is it supposed to be Jimmy's news that you're wanting to hear?
I mean, that should be our first answer.
You know what? I will. We're contractually obligated to say so. I will say this. You don't even need to keep up on all of the stories that are happening around the globe. There's too many to chase. Yeah. Jimmy, you see them every day.
Oh, yeah. And I think you've said this before you even give your answer. We have access to so much and we probably know a little too much.
Well, that's true too. But if you want to know what you can pray for around the globe for the church, think big categories. Because Like you can go find Christian Post regularly puts them up. Not the Beast sometimes talks about them. I suppose Voice of the Martyrs might have a lot of those stories. But you can rest assured our brothers and sisters are taking a beating even as we speak. And you can be praying for them like a nobody's business because they need it. I'm seeing a huge uptick in Africa. And of course, it's the religion of peace that is killing the Christians. So you can be praying for persecuted believers. You can be praying for dispersed believers. You can be praying for Christians who are discriminated against. You can pray for the Christians whose churches are being burnt down, the pastors who are being beaten bloody, and the members are being intimidated. It is going on all over the globe. So you can be praying. I think that's one big category, our persecuted brothers and sisters. Here's another category, biblical fidelity, that more and more churches would stick to the Bible. Third, you could pray for Christian unity inside of the body, that the body would live at peace with one another. So think big categories and be praying for those. And I would encourage all of us to follow your lead and do it daily. We have it. I know we see the threats. We see what's happening in England and in Canada, and we think it's coming here. And I think you're right. But in the meantime, it has been, and it continues to be, at least at the moment, so easy here. We're so much freer than others. And just our quality of living is so high. It's not like we want to sell everything and live in a refrigerator box. I'm just saying we should be really, really grateful. Because if you live in the West, you live in a very good place. You've seen those videos where students on the campus, this country's horrible, terrible. So if we bought your plane ticket and you could go live in any other country and get out of America, would you take the deal?
Well, no, I don't know, man, but Trump is awful.
Okay, asked and answered. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Alex. Todd, should we be ecumenical from a distinctly Christian standpoint with Roman Catholics, given this glaring first order doctrinal error we have with them? Or more plainly, should we as Protestants evangelize Roman Catholics?
Well, the Roman Catholics have actually answered that question for us about 500 years ago at the Council of Trent, where they deemed us to be anathema for believing in grace alone. They're also not big fans of eternal security. Nevertheless, they drew that line in the sand. We tend to think, well, it was the Protestants. Well, I'll tell you who codified that quite clearly, because the reformers were trying to, reform the church, which was the Roman Catholic Church. Obviously, didn't work out, but it was the Roman Catholic Church who made it very, there's at least a dozen anathemas against Protestants. We're simply divided on the essential issues. We just don't have agreement. And we all know the big doctrines. It's the office of the papacy, praying to Mary or esteeming her as the co-redemptrix. Ooh, that's just so blasphemous. Bible alone, justification. Our doctrine of justification is just different. So should we be evangelizing Roman Catholics? Yes. Yes, we should. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Henry. Todd, if my pastor preaches a sermon that has some biblical errors in the message, do I confront him about it?
Depends on the biblical errors. What degree, what level, how sure are you? To know for certain, you're going to have to talk to the man. And be Socratic. Approach with questions and not accusations. Hey, pastor, did I hear you right when you said fill in the blank? So make sure you do your best to be accurate in your understanding of what he said. And maybe even before meeting with him, if he's a stout guy, he has just been faithfully preaching the word, he's not wonky in any way, assume, for starters, that you heard it wrong. And if it's like, well, it could have meant, well, why don't you put the best construction on it and let it go. Now, if it becomes just incessant, well, that could be indicative of a deeper issue. So you could go to him. But again, do it with the hope that you have got it wrong. Pastor, did I hear you right? Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Wouldn't that be sweet? Those can be great conversations. But if you go in, so pastor, you said this, I'm looking at my study notes here. That's not the way. Ask him questions. And this would also, I think, be a message to all of us. When you've got an issue with your pastor, you've got an issue with elders, your elders' decision-making, if these are good guys, be inclined to let them lead. Adopt that posture. They're not... I was reading an article, and we might get to it next week. It was from Sam Rainer, I think. Yeah, here it is. The top reasons for church conflict. Why fights start over trivial matters. Look, these things are deep. The way that I see it, we'll talk about it when we tackle that subject, but the way that I see it is business stuff, that's not that personal. What do you mean? That you want the company to purchase those things. I think that's a bad fiscal decision. But it doesn't grind your gears. But church issues do, don't they? That's like, what do you mean you want yellow lines in the parking lot? They need to be white. Because look at the color of the door. The yellow isn't in the same color wheel. And off we go. Why? There's something about church issues. It's something about family issues that are different. And so we want to be aware that we sure can get into a lot of arguments, and one of the ways to avoid them is communication and putting the best construction on everything. And if you've got good elders, do the best you can to let them lead. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love.
Then came the notes.
Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness.
Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant.
You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe?
We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100.
was a student of the Apostle Peter and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality, emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes. Yes, I know I've said this already, comma, but this is Wretched Radio. I believe it was earlier this week, talked about the pastors who I believe have shot themselves in the foot. The pastors who determined it's really important that I'm relatable, that, you know, they've got to understand I'm not like this super spiritual dude that they can't talk to, and they should be able, therefore, to receive what I'm preaching more openly because I'm accessible. Look, a pastor should always be accessible, but not at the expense of dignity and filling the office. It is my contention that when the pastor becomes accessible and cool, as opposed to dignified and esteemed, it opens Pandora's box for a church. And you should not, as a sheep, just whatever the shepherd says, man, I'm never going to check them. I'm just going to honor that office and I'm going to do what I'm told and I'll be except. Nobody's suggesting that. But is it possible we've all become a little bit too critical because we don't esteem the office highly? I remember when I was a kid, I didn't go to church until like seventh or eighth grade. But I remember our pastors. It's like, they're different. They comport themselves different. They would walk into a room. I think I even remember at my graduation that I think two of them came to the party, and the atmosphere just changed when they walked in, because it's like, oh, there's the pastors. Now, they shouldn't be put on an inappropriate pedestal, but they are the spiritual leaders of the church to tend for your soul. And that office, the more it is esteemed, I think the fewer fights that we have, because we are inclined to fight. We are inclined to want it my way, and we can't all get our own way. And so maybe, just maybe, if pastors, they don't want to comport themselves in a way that says this office is really important, then maybe we can all be working on esteeming that office despite what it is that they wear when they preach or how they carry themselves, that we esteem the office. And maybe, assuming the guy is good, assuming the guy is trying, that we don't become hypercritics of the elders. It will do your heart good like a medicine. And as long as I brought up the subject of clothing, don't know if I mentioned, but Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we were at UNG in Kennesaw State, and I wore a suit and tie. Okay, it wasn't a suit, a sport coat, tie. And I addressed it up front. And I could be wrong about this because, you know, you can't always read the room rightly, but I think it was actually beneficial that I addressed it. I said, hey, let's just get this out of the way because you're thinking about it. Dude, what's with the suit and tie? You kind of overdressed for the occasion. And I said, I don't think I did. And here's why. Number one, I want to communicate that I honor you. I'm glad you're here. Second, I think what we're discussing is more important than football. Why is it that sportscasters dress up in designer suits? I'm telling you, those dudes dress to the nines. The people on the Golf Channel, the Tennis Channel, they don't come close to the way that football commentators dress. And what we're going to discuss is more important than a pigskin. Going to talk about your soul. Going to talk about reality and truth. Going to talk about eternity. These things are big and important. And I wanted to express that and communicate that to you, that what we're doing here is important. Could be wrong. I think they actually appreciated it. Maybe it's time to move away from being cool as a pastor into being perhaps just a little bit more set apart. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Naomi. Todd, I need advice. My parents are planning their funeral and burial arrangements. They want me to be buried with them when the time comes.
Oh boy, I know what's coming here. This is a tough one.
Yeah, they plan on buying a few plots for themselves and my siblings and me. The thing is, I'm the only one married, and my husband wants me to be married with his family. He prefers not to be buried with mine. I'm so mixed, and I need some advice.
Let's acknowledge this is an emotional issue, is it not? Family stuff and burials and where you lay forever. It's important. And somebody's going to have to give. So let's just acknowledge that it's something about which I think we should be sensitive and thoughtful and maybe not really fist bangy. That's right. Fist bangy. Look it up. It's in the pastor's dictionary. Fist bangy. That's different than fist banging. A pastor who is banging his fist is fist bangy. Todd, stop it now. Does the Bible help us understand who should get buried with whom? And I think it does. I think it gives us direction. It's almost ironically like the issue of burial versus cremation. I think the Bible points us in a direction, but I don't think it demands or could possibly be used to call the alternative method a sin. I think the Bible points to burial, the hope of the resurrection, what it communicates, the esteeming of the body, not burning it up. I know it decomposes. I get it. But I think that that's the pattern that we see in the Bible. I think it speaks a better word. But would I make a law? No, I would not. Ditto with the issue of who gets buried with whom. We see in the garden that something dynamic happens when a man and a woman get married. The former covenant union, if you will, it's done, not done. It's not done because it's still your bio mom and dad, but it is done when it comes to authority and priority. Now your new family, the new covenant union, that is now your priority. And you're no longer under the authority of your mom and dad. This is a one flesh union. It's a new covenant union. So we leave and we cleave. Now, with that, I would say one of the options would be that you don't get buried with either family. You get buried together, husband and wife. But there's, of course, a problem. You're probably going to want your kids to be buried with you. But let's just kick that can down the street for a moment. One of the options would be, honey, let's just do that. We'll do this together. You don't want to be here as opposed to there. I think that that's a valid option. I might offer as a second option, both parties being willing to say, I'll be buried wherever you want to, dear, because that's what marriage is about. You're my priority. And so if you prefer being over here rather than over there, then I'll go over there because I want to be with you. I think that's an option for you. Number three, and I think this is one I'll try to make the case for. If the couple determines they're going to be buried with one family or the other, I think the tip would go toward the man's family as the spiritual leader. Historically, we've understood that the new covenant union leader, if you will, is the man. And so that is that covenant, and it usually goes by that last name. I think there's a tipping in that direction. And I do think to a degree we see that, I think, modeled throughout the Bible. Does that mean that I would apply it to say the woman has to get buried in the husband's family burial plot? No, but I think it tips in that direction. So now, how helpful was that? Probably not at all. But I think this is, if you're both willing to not insist on your own way, and if your spouse, whether it's the husband or the wife, is now your priority and you're really cleaving and one fleshing together, I would encourage you to work on your heart and say it just doesn't matter as long as you're with the one that you are currently in that covenantal union. It's a heart issue. And if you're both willing to assume that posture, no, then you're going to get into a fight. And it's a very good fight. No, I want you to have your way. Certainly not. You are going to get your way. And you can have that fight all day if you want to. Because what are we doing? We're submitting to the other. We're putting the other ahead of our own needs and desires. That would be your Philippians 2, Rexella. and we are serving one another in that regard. So I would probably spend my energies on that. I would spend my energies on that. And it might be a good time. It would be a good exercise. I'm not suggesting this is the case with the individual, the lady who wrote in. But I think it gives us a good opportunity to assess, have I left and cleft, id, cleavinglessness? Have I really left my family of origin? Am I really cleaving to my spouse? Is this the priority union? Because these things can, they can help you to examine your heart a little bit because it is so crucial. Who was it? The biblical counselor, maybe it was Bigney. I don't know. It was somebody. And that source reference is good enough these days. Talking about that they see, maybe it was David Cavalli. At any rate, I'm determined. It was Lou Priolo. It was somebody. Lou Priolo who said that it's the one of the trends is that they aren't really leaving. They're kind of, you know, trying to keep one foot in each camp. That's a recipe for disaster. Leave and cleave and still honor your father and mother. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break production of Fortis Institute. The church lost another giant yesterday, unexpectedly this time. Bodie Bauckham Jr. entered into glory at the age of 56 after suffering a medical emergency. And this guy left behind a legacy that will echo through the generations. I'll tell you this, if you've ever stood against the woke mob that tried to infiltrate your church, then you probably have Bodie Bauckham to thank. His 2021 book, Fault Lines, kind of became the manual for Christians fighting critical race theory. And that book was published remarkably just weeks after Bauckham had major heart surgery that nearly ended his life. But God gave him 3 more years, and man, oh man, did he use those 3 years. If you've never heard Bodie's story, it's pretty extraordinary. He was raised by a single Buddhist mother in the projects of Los Angeles, California, and this man would go on to become one of evangelicalism's most powerful voices. But he didn't meet Christ until college. It was a staffer for Campus Crusade who introduced him to the gospel during his freshman year. Bodie would go on from there to marry his wife Bridget as a sophomore in college. They stayed married for over 30 years, 9 children, 7 of them adopted. He spent the majority of the last several years as Dean of Theology at African Christian University in Zambia, only recently moving back to the U.S. this year to work at Founders Ministry. And there have been videos and tributes going all over social media since the news broke last night. One of those videos was pretty simple, but it speaks to the man that Bodie Bauckham was. He was asked how he wanted to be remembered. His answer, that I made much of Christ. Mission accomplished. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Bodie Bauckham Jr. passed away at the age of 56 on September 25th, 2025. A giant of the faith that will be sorely missed. And moving on, accountability has finally arrived as former FBI Director James Comey has been indicted by a grand jury on charges of lying to Congress and obstruction of justice. The man who sanctimoniously lectured America about the rule of law while running interference for Hillary Clinton now faces federal prosecution for his September 2020 testimony about Crossfire Hurricane. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If I were running the universe, time would be metric. This is Wretched Radio. Poor Jimmy, having to do some math, the little timer thing that you use.
Uh-huh.
Come on, man. We're 21st century people. You're telling me you don't have a clock that actually does the minutes and the seconds for you. You have to set the clock based on total seconds.
That's right.
So it's an 11-minute segment that we are doing.
Right.
So you've got to put in 660 seconds.
Correct.
Oh, boy.
I'd rather just type 11.
Well, then the problem then becomes when the math gets trickier.
Yeah.
I need 6 minutes and 22 seconds.
That's right.
So that's like 360 plus 20. Carry the... that is why if I were in charge of everything,
yeah,
I think that I would change the 60 seconds to 100 seconds. Now I realize I could goof some things up. So I would probably stagger that and, you know, in stages I'd introduce that. But I think metric time is what we need to think about. Came up with 60 seconds?
I have no idea.
Because time doesn't exist. It's just a marker. There is not a warehouse filled with time. There's not a headquarters that you can drive by on the freeway where it's like, oh, that's where time does all of their, that's and they've got some branches, but we need to send a letter to somebody about this. I know. Hey, let me do a salute to a kid at a 470 area code. Just two nights ago, driving back from Kennesaw State University to Alpharetta with Greg Gifford in the back seat. And it was, wow, Georgia. Georgia does rain. Because it comes up from the Gulf and the system sometimes just sits there. And it's just imagine like pouring, pouring, pouring. But for several hours, it's unbelievable the way that it rains here. And we're driving through it, hydroplaning here and there. And Mrs. Friel said, are your lights on? Yeah. Well, they weren't doing much. I've got an older car, so they're kind of yellow. So Mrs. Friel goes onto the thing on the deal, the next door business. And there's some kid, I don't know if he's high school or college, saying, I'll make your lights better. Mine are bad enough where it's like, I should probably get them replaced. Otherwise, I shouldn't drive at night. And Jimmy, they're cheap. Doing it on the cheap, at least I think, like that I don't have to replace the... You know what it would cost to replace two headlights?
A lot. Because they don't make them the way they used to.
And so I sent the kid a text and I said, hey, can you hook me up? And he's like, tomorrow, be there. It's like, dude, way to go. I love that kind of hustle.
Yeah.
I love like kids that are like, ding dong, you want your driveway power washed? Cool. Good on you, dude. That they just... They actually work. So salute to that kid. And as long as I've distracted myself from being distracted and the original distraction, Jimmy,
yes.
you're the whole business about where you should get buried with your spouse and his plot, her plot with the family.
Yeah. So I wanted to add, you were saying everything that I was thinking, but I just wanted to add one more thing. You were talking.
So I didn't.
What?
I didn't say everything you were thinking.
Well, no.
You want to add one more thing. This is like walking by somebody and intentionally interrupting a conversation and saying, excuse me, I hate to interrupt. No, you don't.
No, you intended
to interrupt.
That's exactly
so
right.
So I didn't say everything.
Well, what I was going to say was you were talking about honoring your mother and father and also clinging to your husband, leaving and cleaving. And I would just take that a step further and saying clinging to your husband actually honors your mother and father more.
And you're going to explain that.
Well, I mean, because it shows your parents the highest. I think being obedient to God's order shows your parents the highest respect that you could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. I think it tips in that direction.
Yeah.
Would I insist? No, I keep coming back to this. The core issue is the desire to let the other have their way. And you know, I don't want to speculate too much into the text or email that was sent in, but I think the individual said he doesn't want to be buried with my, and I'm not nuts about being buried with his. That would be an opportunity to work through some stuff because your in-laws are pretty much on the same level as your laws, because as your bio parents, because that new covenant union, his parents are now your parents. Ruth, his parents are your parents. Your parents are his parents. And if there's like a hesitation to that, because it's like, well, I just, And I get it. You know your parents. I understand that. But you might want to use it as an opportunity to examine what my attitude is toward the in-laws and why it maybe isn't at the level where it would be easy to be buried next to them. You want to say anything else?
No, no. That's it. That's good.
So now I have said everything you were thinking.
I think so.
That didn't take long. Hi-yo! 877-282-2337.
All right. So here's a question. From Anonymous. Todd, what are the best ways to create friendships when people seem disinterested in you or always say they're busy? I've attempted for years to build friendships within the church, at conferences, at Christian hangouts, to no avail. Seems that no matter what I try, people still just don't like me and I feel alone and sad. I honestly don't have one true friend that I can lean on.
I'm sorry. That's heavy. There are two things that I would encourage you to consider, and I'm not suggesting that you are not doing one or the other or that one or the other applies to you. I'm just saying in general terms, I think there could be two reasons why an individual might not be making friends. So let's do the hard one first. We have to ask ourselves the question, is it I? Is there something about me that's kind of off-putting? Use it as an opportunity. Don't see it as like, oh, I got to pistol whip myself because I'm just a total loser. No, 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 don't do that. Use this as an opportunity for growth. Maybe ask some people, hey, I'm just curious. I'm not angling here at all. I'd like your help. Do you think that there's anything about me that's off-putting that would keep people from wanting to befriend me? Oh, if we can speak into each other's lives like that, wouldn't that be a glorious experience? Because we should be willing to ask those questions about ourselves. So I would encourage you to look at it from that perspective as one of the perspectives so that you can grow. You know, look, we are not good judges of ourselves. We really do need one another to help us know how we are doing. If we don't, we're not going to grow as much as we could. So ask your family members, ask them to be on, ask your elders. They observe you. I promise you, your elders observe you. Trust me, they might be able to tell you and then you can grow. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying. The other consideration, and this is one that's going to be a little bit out of your control. The reality is these days, I think social media, our current culture, does not cultivate the concept of friendship. We don't need friends when we've got pixels. And so it's kind of stacked against you, and it might not be you at all. It could just be that people are not aware of the delight of having a friend, of having confidants. And having them for years, not just because you work with them. I think they call, what is that, like worker friend? So that when one of you gets fired or leaves, you just never talk to each other because it was just work that brought you together. It's a shame that our society does not put a spotlight on the joys of true friendship. So, dude, it might not be you. Now, there could be an issue where in your church, I guess this would potentially be a third option. If there's nobody in your church, it might be an option to be able to talk to the pastor about it. I would start with, is there anything about me? And then second of all, you could tell him about your experiences to say, is there anything you could do, pastor, to help cultivate this so that we start doing life together a little bit more? That would be a blessing. Jimmy, you got anything else?
Yeah, so I want to just offer some advice. And it's not that I'm, like you said, it's not that I'm saying that this guy that asked this question or girl, it was anonymous, that asked the question is doing this at all. But something that I found helpful is instead of waiting for people to invite you in, looking for friends that way, just start serving in your church because that's going to put you shoulder to shoulder with people in your church doing service. Friendships are built that way.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not suggesting it's like you walk up to people and it's like, hey, we're going to talk, going to be your friend. Right. You can cultivate those relationships without looking weird.
Right.
<That's> right. Get plugged into your church. Just be there a lot and you're going to be bumping into people more. Or you serve, even, okay, for instance, you bring somebody a meal. They just had a surgery. And what, chances are they're going to invite you in. They're going to, or you're going to see them on Sunday and they're just going to be a lot warmer toward you because you did them, what is it called? Did them a solid. Is that still the current cool lingo?
I don't.
Serve in your church. You will be staggered at the amount of fruit that it bears. And don't do it because, okay, I'm going to serve so that I can have friends. I don't know that that's a great motivation. Serve because you want to be like Jesus. And by the way, the more you look like him, the more people will be attracted to you. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku. Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription. No hidden fees. Just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy?
Yes?
Are you my friend? Oh, wow.
Yes.
There was a pause there that I didn't feel comfortable about. That wasn't very affirming. This is Wretched Radio. You might be one of the personality types that doesn't see a benefit or a need to have friends. Okay, I guess you don't need to have friends, but you should in the context of a local church. It goes deeper than friendship, incidentally, because the only way that we ever grow is through the one anothering. And that means friendship. And if you're doing those things with one another in the context of church, you're going to be developing friendships, and they bear so much fruit. So if you're a little reticent, you're not the kind, it's like, I don't want to get close to people. I don't have time for these people. I got a bunch of kids. Okay, I get that you can have a bunch of kids and time might be very, very precious. But try to at least, the friends that you've got, don't ignore them for the next 20 years. Just try to keep in touch with them. It will bear fruit for you. It's good to have friends, especially Christian friends. And the best place to find them and cultivate them is in the context of your local church. And it'll be so good for you, because I know out of the tens and tens of people listening right now, there was somebody who said, you don't have any idea. The kids in my youth group, man, they are like Dorkville. They're the best friends you'll ever have. Don't measure friends based on attractiveness, coolness, how big they've got a pool in their backyard. None of those, that's not what makes a friendship. What makes a really profound friendship is that you have something that brings the two of you together that is more profound than stuff or personality or economic status or things that are circumstantial. When you are in Christ, those are the best friendships. So overlook some of the stuff where you might be inclined to kind of, I'm not interested in those people because they're like that. Overlook that, because if they're in Christ, those are the people with whom you want to cultivate a friendship in the context of a local church.
And I would also say, from that perspective in the local church, look across lines that you don't even expect. You don't have to be friends with people your age.
Right.
You can build very rich friendships with older saints.
I got to, you know what? This is a funny thing, because I think I mentioned we went out to KSU and UNG.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I remember hearing things like this when I was younger and just not getting it. Seeing kids show up to hear a presentation on joy and the Christian perspective of how to have shalom. Wow, that was encouraging. Each one of them, I'm like, Joe, you gave up an evening? You postponed your studying, or you're going to have to cram to come to this thing? Oh, that's so encouraging. And I say that because if you're younger and you can establish being discipled by somebody who's older, you're going to get a ton out of it, but you're going to bless that person so much. And it shouldn't be weird in a church, like a 20-year-old dude to identify a 40-year-old guy who seems to kind of have it going on. You know, that it seems to be working. Hey, dude, I kind of want what you got. Could you help me? All right, unless the person is like a total jerk, they're going to be like, what? You want me to help you? I'd be glad to do that. And you encourage that person. So it is a two-way street, friendships and discipleship. Man, the street should be called Reciprocity Avenue, because you both get stuff out of it. So don't think it's dorky. Don't think it's weird. It's good to be discipled by somebody older. And isn't that, by the way, what Titus talks about in chapter 2 with women?
It's biblical, yeah.
It's so biblical, and it's so healthy. And you'll advance. It's like fertilizer on your maturation process. You're just going to be different than your peers. It shouldn't be weird in the context of a local church. 877-282-2337.
So here's a text from Adam. Todd, I recently encountered someone rejecting penal substitutionary atonement in favor of ransom theory.
Oh, no.
Do I call him a heretic?
It depends on who paid the ransom to whom, because there are some people who would say that we paid the ransom to God, and I think that's problematic, but that's nowhere near as horrible as we paid a ransom to Satan. That's just so off the mark. I would say that would be an essential compromise of that Jesus Christ, he satisfied justice. Whose justice? The Father's justice. He was punished by the Father on behalf of sinners that we might be atoned. And if there's a payment going to Satan, as if Satan owned us? No, I think our wills are in bondage to Satan. But our debt isn't with Satan. Our debt is with God, and Jesus paid it all to whom? To God. That's the correct understanding of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And if somebody says that the ransom theory is right and that Jesus was paying Satan, where are you going to find that Bible verse? I don't know. But I got to tell you, I would be really concerned about that person. It could be that they're just confused. They never really thought it through. They're uneducated about the issue. You've always got to assume that if that's the case and they go, oh, you're right. Go here. Here's what you can do. Go look up all the verses on propitiation. Go look at that uses the word. I think there's four verses that specifically use the word propitiation, which is the satisfying the wrath of God. Then you can also look for the word atonement, and because it's different, and you'll see that it is all about the Son acting as our substitute to receive the wrath of Satan? No. God, show them those Bible verses. And if they're like, Satan, forget about it. I don't believe that anymore. Then carry on. They're not a heretic. But if they're like, nope, I believe Jesus paid to Satan so that we could be set free, I think that I would be really concerned for that individual. And I would try to open up. We talked about PSA 2 weeks ago. Didn't we do that? Oh, we did. Did we do that here when talking about John Mark Comer?
I believe so.
And Christus Victor? Mm-hmm. Hey, go back a week or two ago. And I think that I read through all of those verses. I know why. I do remember doing that because I said it's like we got a vat full of verses that talk about penal substitutionary atonement. And one of the faulty theories, a lot of them are deficient, like the moral theory, the Christus Victor theory. They're right, but they're insufficient. The ransom theory, when it is paying a debt to Satan to get us bought back from his control, I think I stated that is outside of orthodoxy. You can go back and listen to that. Load yourself up on those verses. And by the way, they start in the Old Testament. Don't start in the New, start in the Old, because it'll really establish that atonement, that God is the one who must be satisfied. We don't see a hint of Satan being engaged in that process. It starts in the Old Testament. It starts with the shedding of blood in the garden. It starts with Cain and Abel. It's Abraham and Isaac. It is all the atonement of the sacrificial system, the Day of Atonement, Passover. It is in the Old Testament. Then you can show them all the verses in the New Testament and say, dude, you need to get on the page of the Bible. That's where you need to be right here. I'm asking you to reject this ransom to Satan business because that's outside of orthodoxy. 877-28. Can Fortis Plus, they're at Fortis Plus, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You should be able to go find it. If you go use a search, do we have a search engine?
I believe so, yes.
Look for penal substitutionary atonement. Yeah. It was within the last couple of weeks. And I think we're going to be posting that video. I think we recorded that and filmed it so we could put it up on the YouTube machine.
I think so.
And it probably won't be that popular. But don't take this the wrong way. We're okay with that. Because some things are just, they don't get big views, but they're just too important. And penal substitutionary atonement is definitely one of those doctrines. 877-282-2337.
And this question is from Charles. Todd, what's your opinion of...
I don't like this already. I don't like that. Whatever that little snort was.
What's your opinion of Mike Todd?
I'm Lurch. Much could be said. Let's just for a moment, though, set aside his theology. Let's talk about his dignity and lack thereof. Very popular, big church, transformation church, I believe. He's a silly man. He's a trivial man. He's a lightweight man. There's no gravitas. There's no dignity. A man of God who behaves like that has either a very poor concept of what it means to be an elder, and he certainly has a low ecclesiology, that these shenanigans and antics that he part of, dancing on stage and the spitting in his brother's face and all that nonsense that he does, He's just somebody that I don't understand why people follow him. I just don't. Other than they like to have their ears tickled because he's such a silly fellow. So that's my take on him. Putting theology aside, the way a man comports himself can indeed disqualify himself. And I think in this instance, that would apply. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.